lessons. It's all about the same subject. As we get into it, we've got it typed out and can give you anyone who wants it a copy of it. It's called Church Government. And I believe that the church is ran by the Holy Spirit, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the elders, not anybody else. It's called a theocracy, not a democracy. And even though the majority of the people may be for something, if God says it's wrong, it's wrong. And so we entitle this Church Government. Galatians chapter 1, we will not get in a hurry, but it's why that, you know, some people don't like to read this type of stuff, so that's why we decide to teach it, but want you to understand what church government is. As we look here in Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 15, Paul said, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions, or principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Everything, you get up in the spring and you see the blooms on the flowers, the birds singing, you look out yesterday, the snow falling, everything from the smallest to the greatest was created by him and for him. And the key is for. God said in verse 17, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." We know, and I believe in science. Don't agree with everything the science believe, but I know that if God did not hold the sun in the position it's in, this earth would burn up. There's a lot of other things that, you know, they have studied. And I believe most of that. But he said in verse 18, "And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things," now notice, "he might have the preeminence." He's number one. He makes the final decision. And any time a church, including the Monroe Baptist Church, goes against the Word of God, we're in error. And we're subject to the church being gathered, but the Spirit of God will not necessarily be there. We say that he writes Rehoboth. Can't see it, but the Spirit of God is not there. Preaching, singing, elections, all that takes place, but it's not of God because he has removed the Spirit because he is no longer number one. He no longer is saying, "This is my church, I bought it, I paid for it, you got a pastor, I call him, I put him there." Every member, if they're saved, I add them to that body. He is in full control. Verse 19 says, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." There are many ways in which people and churches, true and false, do things. However, our concern as always must be, according to Romans 4:3, "What saith the Scripture?" You know, and I've told you, and we won't labor that point, but I've had people in this county, I've had people call me, had people call me in different places and said, I know what the Bible says, Pastor, but what do you believe? That's an insult. That's an insult to me. If you're saved and I know what the Bible says, it's not important to me what you believe. Because if you're in error and you're voluntarily, free will, following that error because that's what you believe and not what the Bible teaches, you will soon be under the disciplining hand of the Almighty God. What does God say in His Word how the church is to be governed? Do the Scriptures teach a government of popery, the Pope in charge? How about the Episcopalian, the Episcopal? What about a government of the Presbytery, which that's big in the Presbyterian Church? With the pastor and some elders, they make the rule. In some churches, you don't even vote on a member. The pastor and the elders decide whether you're fit to be a member or not. All of that, if you study the history of it, you know, and then people say, why are you so hard on Protestants? Because all of them got error in them. They protested. They protested the Catholic Church, and they came out. That's what Protestants mean. That's why that when I go to the hospital or doctor or specialty hospital, and they haven't done it the last few times, maybe they've stopped that, but a few years ago when I was in the hospital, have a nurse come in and said, you know, are you Protestant or Catholic? I'm neither. I'm not Catholic. I'm not Protestant. But you've got to be one. You're not an atheist, are you? No, I'm not an atheist. I'm a Baptist, independent, missionary, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist, and I'm not ashamed of it. And I don't want Protestant put on the hospital record, my doctor's record. That's one thing that God made me. He made a Baptist out of me. Now, I don't ask everybody else to go as strong on that as me, but that is my conviction, not my feelings. My conviction, because that has caused me a lot of problems. It has caused people to say, I don't want to listen to you. You're so narrow-minded. Well, you know, when people tell me that I'm narrow-minded, at least they believe I got a mind, and that encourages me.
Who told you that?
How about a deacon-run church? I'm against it. Again, we must ask ourselves, what saith the Scripture? The phrase, the Bible is our sole rule of faith and practice, must no longer be a slogan of which we use to pat ourselves on the back with. We must actually believe and practice only what the Bible says. Now, the question is, theocracy or theology? Well, we must remember that the Lord's church is a theocracy. By this, we mean it is governed by God Himself. Observe a verse in our original text. You know, when he said there in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 19, as you read that he is the head. He is the head. You know, Colossians 1:18. He is the head, firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is to have preeminence. In other words, he makes the final decision. It's not a debate. The Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the one who is in charge of the church. And the Apostle Paul likens the church unto a body with Jesus as her head. This is his body. The church is the bride of Christ. A bride has got to have a head. Christ is the head. The Apostle Paul likens that church to a body. And we study the Revelation. One of the churches, you know, God says, you have a name that liveth, but are dead. That's why what has happened to so many churches and so many individuals. We have a name. Are you saved? Yes, sir. Saved July the 4th, blah, 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 blah. Haven't been in church for years. Something wrong with that problem. Something wrong with a man who says that God has saved him and he hadn't been in church for 15, 20 years. Now, he could be backslidden. We know it. The least he's backslidden. He may even be lost. But that's between him and God. But let's notice in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, God said, and have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So whatever decision the church makes, it should be to further the gospel, to glorify the Lord, to teach his word. And sometimes we can do that and even have fun. We can enjoy ourselves. But the church is a spiritual schoolhouse. We come here to learn about God and the difference between this school and the other schools. You only have one textbook. Now, you can buy other books that where men have had a different view and has been enlightening, and that's why that we have libraries full of books about the book. But if it's a Christian book, it will always be a book about the book. And we need to understand that's not inspired. I don't care how good it is. A.W. Pink is my favorite writer. I've got every book that I know that he's written. I've read every book that A.W. Pink has written. I think he's got a brilliant mind, and God has used him. But it's not an inspired book. Only the Bible is inspired. Now, it may lift you up, and that's good. But God said, have put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. The body is to follow the head. The head is not to follow the body. Now, we know people that has got carried away and they got yourself in trouble, and well, what happened? They let the head follow the body instead of the body following the head. That's why it's so important for us to know what Christ said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. I've heard many people say that. I've been told that a few times. Boy, get your head on straight. You ever heard that? People who really care about you will say, get your head on straight. What they're simply saying, think right. Start thinking right. Quit letting your body, which is filled of desires and lusts and want to fulfill the desires of the flesh, you go letting that control you and you're in trouble. And the church is in trouble. When some of you have internet, you have Facebook, and maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't, but I see it every day. We went from 20 members to 400 and some members in 1 year. Click here. Buy this book. Don't have the money to buy the book and don't have the time to read it. Because there's only one way to get people saved, and that's preach the gospel to them. The second that is very important, make sure you live what you preach. If you don't, it wipes out what you said. You know, when I say the brain sends signals to the rest of the body telling it what to do, and the body responds to what the brain tells it to do. You know, it's like bull riding, you know. I see those people, and as long as they can keep their eyes, but that bull starts tumbling and jumping, and their body goes one way, and their head goes another way, and they fall on the sawdust. Well, we need to understand that the next thing that we need to understand is my body goes where the head is looking. Remember that. My body will go where my head, you know. So you see something that you shouldn't be watching, and you see it long enough, what happens? That's why that pornography is so dangerous. You watch that filth with the head, the body will follow through if you watch it long enough. It's just the way it goes. Your head controls your body. So when you have people who profess to be saved and they tell you, I'm saved, I know I'm saved, and then their body is taking their head somewhere else, they had their head on the body. Just like the bull rider. My body follows where my head goes. So ought we follow Christ wherever he leads us. The Lord has every right to govern the church because it is what? It is his church. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, you don't have to know Greek to understand this verse, but if you knew a little Greek, or if you got a Strong's Concordance or Young's Concordance, you would quickly learn that he said, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The Greek indicates that Peter is a small pebble. You're part of the church, not built upon you. And that's common sense. If you go look at a house, and we've looked at several the last few weeks, and one or two people got up and said, I told you the foundation was good. I'm not telling you didn't. I want to see the foundation. I want to see if there's any water in the foundation. I want to see if there's any cracks in the foundation. Because if the foundation is not proper, the house will not be proper. Amen. So with the church. If 5, 6, 7, 8 people go out and start one, you know what's going to happen down the road? Somebody's going to leave that and go start one because it doesn't have a foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ, built upon the big rock, not the little Petra, the small rock. Jesus said, I will build my church. It is his church. The church is not ours. It is not the pastor's church. It's not the church member's church. It is the Lord's church, and you have been blessed to be saved and added to one of his churches. And we take that very, very, it blows my mind. Soon be married 52 years to the same woman. Well, one woman's good as another. And ain't nobody else but put up with me for 52 years. You know, anybody say amen to that? It doesn't bother me a bit. That's just facts. But God put me with the one that could and did. One church's not as good as another. So you find that church, first of all, that's got the foundation. I don't care how pretty the living room is. I don't care about the stained glass, the doors, the carpet, the pews. Does it have a foundation? That's what upsets me so bad about people on Facebook that, you know, telling that our enemy has as many rights as we do. You know, what does that tell me? They have never, never read the Constitution. They've never read the Bill of Rights. And they know what the enemy believes, but they've never read their book. This here is like you go build a house, you know, you want some guidelines. What is going to be? This book is so perfect on what the church should be that he gave us an example in the tabernacle. And every piece of furniture has a meaning. I just finished a study on the numbers in the Bible. What does one mean? What does two mean? What do all those numbers mean? They are important for history. You say, I don't care about history. Don't you want to know whether the foundation is right, or are you just concerned about a beautiful living room, big kitchen, large bathroom? Got to have the foundation. When you leave the Constitution of the United States, you have what this country is in now. Those decisions they've made because the majority wanted it. They're cracking the foundation. And when that foundation of the United States goes, so will your freedom. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28, the Lord has every right to govern church because he purchased it with his own blood. You know, he purchased it, you know. You can use any description you want to, you know. If somebody, you know, I should use Tom. He's had a lot of work done on his truck. Now he's satisfied with it. You know, he's pleased, and that's all matters. But I may not would have done that, or you may not would have done that. See, but you do what you feel is right based upon something other than feelings. And God says here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, God said here in Acts 20 and verse 28, he said, and this, get in the right chapter here, Acts 20 verse 28, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves. We could preach another 20 minutes on that word. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseer, to feed the flock of God which he has purchased with his own blood. It describes my job. That verse right there tells you what my job is. And God said, take heed. God is watching me. And I'm going to give an account how I do things in this church. Because God said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves. But it's also talking, you're not, you know, singular, but plural. You take, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flocks over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseer, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. That's the duty of the pastor. And so when I see something that's not right, I'm not sticking my nose in your business. I'm doing my business. And my business is to try to make sure that you stay to the government of the church. Church didn't save you, but I'm thankful to say this, not ashamed to say this, and you may say, well, it did mine, then I'm sorry. God saved my soul. The church saved my life. The church has saved my life. The Lord has authority over his church because he alone purchased it with his blood. Nobody else did nothing. He started that church. He got the apostles ready. The apostles going out teaching and preaching. And he said, you know, how do you know whether it is his church? The doctrine of that church is built upon what the apostles preached, upon the apostles' doctrine. And as Brother Mark and I was discussing a little while before church, a lot of things that people say they have the power to do now, to heal, speak in tongues, prophesy, all that, when the apostles' age stopped. A lot of things the apostles did, we keep doing it. You know, give you simply example here. All of this, what I've said being true, Christ alone is in charge of his church. He alone directs and dictates to his church. The Lord Jesus made this abundantly clear when he said, but in Matthew 23:8, I want you to read that. I wrote it down, but let's read that. Matthew 23:8. God said, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. I'm not going to call no man rabbi. I'm not going to call no man father. I'm not going to call man anything other than what he is. If he's a child of God, he's a Christian. If he's not, he's a lost person. So when we see here in Matthew 23:8, but be not ye called rabbi. Meta preacher, you know. I shared this with the same conversation I had with Brother Harold, you know, down there. Met a good old Pentecostal preacher. Nice old fella. He said his daddy had did this, his daddy had did that, he had healed people. And I looked at him real concerned. I said, your grandmother's got cancer? And she's down here at the cancer center? Why didn't somebody heal her? And there's no answer. And if there is an answer, is, well, they didn't have enough faith. Well, either that or they don't have enough knowledge. We're all brethren. And all church members are on an equal level. Christ alone is over his church. I think I shared this with y'all. When I was at Hebron, I called a man's name. He's dead now, so I won't. But he showed up one Sunday morning and came up to me, and he said, I just want you to know that God sent me here to take over the church. I said, there's just one problem. He said, what's that? He didn't inform me. And since God put me here, he'll inform me when it's time for me to leave. He won't go through a second party. Now, I don't know where he got his information, but I know it didn't come from God, because it is God that places pastors. And how does he do that? The church calls them after examination, after knowing the background, after knowing what the person believes. So we're all brethren. We're all Christians. We're all blood-bought believers if we're all saved. Now, how does Christ dictate to and direct his church? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ dictates and directs his church with two things. One, the Holy Spirit of God. Two, the Word of God. I use a very simple thing that a lot of Baptists that you and I both love, we love to hear them preach. God led me to have a junior church. What's a junior church? Where did that terminology come from? I tell you where it came from. They went to a growth seminar. And in that growth seminar, they have learned that you take the young people out, put them down in the basement, put them in a room by themselves, and you have somebody qualified to teach. Well, if they were qualified to teach, they wouldn't agree to teaching in a junior church, because the junior church doesn't exist. God said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The Lord Jesus dictates and directs his churches through the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And remember, Jesus said, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Holy Spirit will not come. But when he comes, he will lead, guide, and direct you into truth. The Holy Spirit will never direct me to do something that is not in the Word of God. I may do it, and he may seemingly bless it. But have you ever seen, businesses, marriages, churches, all started the wrong way, and some of them flourished for years, then they fall apart. The Holy Spirit also provides leadership, and that's what I've just read to you partially in John 16:13. Really hard to know. That's one scripture I just know, and because I've repeated and believe it all the time. But here in John 16:13, see, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth. And every time I read that verse, y'all probably couldn't guess in a million years who I think about. Every time I read that verse, I'll think about Frances Looney. When her youngest child was born, and she was, holding it, and I went back there, not meaning anything. What is it? Man, she said, it's not a hit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's not a it. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth. You know why it has to be it? He? Because God is a male figure. Jesus is a male figure. Since the Holy Spirit is part of the Trinity, it's got to be a he. It doesn't put down on the she's, doesn't put down on the ladies, nothing. It's just that God said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth. Think about it. The Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit will never teach you anything that is not in thus saith the Lord. Never. Don't care what grandma believed, what granddaddy believed, what your former pastor believed, what your pastor believed. If it's not in the word of God, the Spirit of God did not teach them that. Where did they pick that up? Probably on a growth seminar. Probably on the books, How the Wind Influenced People. And I say that because I've read all of those. Jack Howells from Ohio, you know, he's got 4 books on how to win the lost. Got some good points. Most of it's bones. That's why I like boneless chicken. I like the meat. Don't like the bones. So the Bible is boneless. It doesn't have any bones in it that's going to choke you on. Word of God, straight from God himself, and the Spirit of God will only bear witness with truth. So how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. What a beautiful little part there. I underlined that in my Bible. Anybody, and I'm not riding this horse, I just want to make it clear, the Spirit never glorifies itself. He always glorifies the Son. And see, well, I want all the gifts. Oh, you can get every gift God wants you to have. But the gift of tongues ceased. You know why? For Christ came in person. And when Christ came in person, there was no need of an unknown tongue. We got the tongue directed from the Father. So he said, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself. You never find a scripture where the Spirit of God glorifies himself. He glorifies the Father. He glorifies the Son. Amen? But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he shall show you things to come. Pick up right here on my favorite verses. The Holy Spirit has taught me everything I know. He used some good men. Every time I think about Brother Roscoe Brown, those who got to sit under that man for years and years, man, what a blessing.